he immediately saw that the smarter ones seemed left on their own, as the others needed more teacher assistance. After a month, he asked about helping two or three kids do more advanced work, offering to do the planning and come up with problems from the textbook. Dan was wise to get to know the lay of the land and create a good relationship with the teacher at the onset. Once he was certain of what was needed, he made suggestions about how he could best help. The other important thing Dan did was look for a school with a big need. Typically, lower-income and rural schools need the most help. They often don't have volunteers, so select carefully so you can make a solid difference like Dan did. Get on board. Joining nonprofit boards is a very popular retirement job. Lots of women and men I talk to seem to join boards for causes that matter to them personally. Boards need guidance and connections and people with business acumen. Nonprofits get this from people in the community who are willing to donate their time. Kathy, who has had a lot of experience sitting on nonprofit boards, told me, "I'm very passionate about my causes. I pick them very carefully so my values and goals align with theirs. Knowing that I am making an important difference, that's what really matters." Many people tout the virtues of their board work, but one caution needs to be put out there. These nonprofits typically want your time and often your money too. They expect you to attend the fundraisers, make a major donation, and also invite all your wealthier, happy-to-make-a-financial-donation friends to their events. So keep that in mind and ask the right questions before you sign up so you clearly know what is expected of you. Want an active retirement? That is a goal for many retirees. Tom does this by coaching the local middle school basketball team. It's his favorite sport. His own kids are grown and no longer at home. He misses those days of carting his three boys around. When he heard from a friend that the school needed a basketball coach, he set up a meeting with the athletic director, and for the last 6 years, he has been the team coach, making $500 a season. Bow Wows and Books. Are you a dog lover? Do you like reading books? Darlene is both. She owns an adorable Shih Tzu named Ranger. After retiring, she heard about a unique program at her local library called Bow Wows and Books. They have a children's story time and reading program with a unique twist. Dogs read with young children. The program is designed to help weak readers improve. Darlene went to observe the program. "I immediately realized I must do this," she says. She signed up to get her dog into a specialized pet therapy training program. She described how the program works. Children come in ages 4 to about 7. Typically, these kids are weak readers, the ones struggling in class. Each child selects a book, then picks a dog and owner. While a child might struggle reading to people, they seem to find reading their book to a dog much easier. The owner is there in the background to offer a little assistance if the kid gets stuck on a word. Kids read at their own pace, and I find almost everyone wants to pet my Ranger. Typically, the kids rotate after about 10 minutes, so I'll get 4 or 5 different kids visiting and reading to my dog during the story hour. The program concludes with one owner and their dog reading to the kids. Darlene continues, "I tell the kids my dog can read. Then I sit down with Ranger on my lap and begin a story with my dog watching the book. I read out loud, and then I command Ranger to turn the page. And he does. The kids scream and get so excited watching my dog read. What they don't know is that the animal is turning the page to get a treat I put on the next page. To them, it seems like Ranger is listening and helping turn the page as he reads with me. Kids think this is the coolest thing ever." Darlene volunteers every week, saying it is a major highlight for both her and Ranger. Coaching in Paradise. Having been a global sales manager for a large company, retiring to Hawaii was all Patty and her husband talked about. They had bought a small condo years before and sold it when the market was high. Then, after the market went south, they bought a nicer, bigger one they could spend their winters in, away from Michigan's awful cold and snow. After a few weeks on the island, Patty needed something more important to do. She was a career counseling client I'd known for years, and she wrote me about her dilemma. "Robin, I'm suffering from extreme boredom. I could not tell anyone else this except you, because everyone thinks I'm living the good life. They are jealous that I'm in Hawaii and would think I'm crazy if they heard me complain." After all, Patty was living on a tropical island, but she also missed interacting with professionals and coworkers she used to mingle with daily. We discussed her talents and various options. The most appealing to her was life coaching as a part-time job. She had thought about it a lot, but she didn't want to devote all her time to starting a new business and marketing it. So we came up with a good idea, sales coaching. She had the sales management experience, plus was a natural at coaching. She was really excellent at helping others and had done it as part of her career. We developed a plan to launch her new business. She contacted some old colleagues and said she was only helping people with less than 5 years of work experience. She needed to charge these new professionals something for the coaching, so she decided on a rate of $30 to $50 an hour, knowing that people listen better when they pay. If she had gone into sales consulting, she could have charged $300 to $400 an hour. She uses technology to see her clients, Skype and FaceTime, only on Apple devices. They can also email her if a big issue comes up. They pay her via a PayPal account. She decided to write a blog for fun to help sales professionals. Blogging led to more clients. A friend created a small but attractive website for her. "My clients come from networking with friends and business associates I used to know. My true gold mine was using LinkedIn. I found a lot of managers I had known, and from them I got potential clients. I have good references, and I get referrals. I average 8 to 10 hours working with clients a week. That's all I want. After all, I enjoy reading by the pool and doing a little bit of painting, which is a new hobby I'm trying out," Patty explains. Patty has a nice waiting list and usually makes her sales coaching experience last about 6 months. It's been the perfect new role for her, and she feels she's giving back by helping new professionals advance in their careers. It's rewarding for both parties. "I feel so needed and valuable. Working with young 20-somethings keeps me sharp and on my toes. It's the best world possible for me." Is coach a role you want to play? If you have a business background, you can open a business like Patty did, or volunteer and still coach others. The Small Business Administration's Free Mentoring and Educational Program, SCORE, offers coaching to business owners. The program has more than 11,000 volunteers, so it's able to deliver services at no charge or at a very low cost. Volunteer mentors share their expertise in 62 industries with free, confidential business coaching available in person or via email. Also, the opportunity exists to teach business workshops locally and webinars online 24/7. Find more info at www.score.org. Become civic-minded. Glenn worried that his mandatory retirement would be the very worst thing that had ever happened to him. A lower-level manager in a Fortune 500 manufacturing company, he spent over 20 years at the same place and the last 10 in the same job. He was angry and then depressed when the company decided that people over 55 needed to go. So he lost his job at age 59 getting only a small retirement package. As the months rolled on, he called me for help. He needed to get out of his funk and wondered if he should look for a new job. After reviewing his needs and determining how burned out he was, we spent a session discussing how he could find a worthwhile volunteer position. I got to thinking about our career counseling session as I was driving home, he said. I saw a poster on my neighbor's lawn for a guy running for the U.S. House of Representatives. I had no idea who he was, so when I got home, I Googled him to see what his views and positions were. They resonated with me. So I took a bold step and knocked on my neighbor's door. I did not know my neighbor, but I asked about the candidate and how they knew him. From that conversation, I was invited to campaign headquarters, the candidate's garage. I met the man running and some of the volunteers. I sat down and got to work. I campaigned for months, averaging 20 hours a week. I manned telephones and went out ringing doorbells and handing out posters and bumper stickers. I did a wide variety of administrative tasks, writing correspondence, handling mail, and assisting in planning events. I really enjoyed this job. Last November, Glenn's candidate won. Glenn now volunteers at the congressman's local office doing anything they need. Do you want to get involved in politics? Start at the local level. Help a potential judge land that job, or a city council member. You can work on the campaign of someone running for the school board. Getting involved locally allows you to meet new people and quickly make friends with your views and values. After 300 years of teaching English to seventh graders, or was it 35 years, I was tired and ready to retire, says Joy. I lasted 2 whole months before my brain went to mush. I cleaned, purged cupboards, shopped until I dropped, tried crossword puzzles, too hard for me, and finally had to admit I was bored. I thought I would enjoy sleeping in, but I was no longer tired, so I arose earlier than I ever did when working. I volunteered in my daughter-in-law's classroom, sat in a corner cutting out shapes, thus putting my master's degree to good use, came dressed as Thing One and read Cat in the Hat and never missed a holiday party. Finally, I found my calling. I joined a women's service organization, Soroptimus, a group of women working to improve the lives of women and girls with programs leading to social and economic empowerment. It was perfect. I was looking for new friends and I wanted to do some good work. Bingo. I have enlarged my friend group many, many times over. There is nothing like the company of good women to support you through the tough times of losing a loved one and to cheer you on with all your good news, too. I threw myself completely into the mission, making the world a better place for women and girls through special programs. I joined every committee, made monthly pledges, and gave them my time, talent, and treasure. I became a club president, then one of the directors of our region. I am so proud of the efforts my group has made in helping women and girls locally and globally. We read to children in after-school programs, assist young at-risk teen girls with career guidance, and offer a hand up to women recovering from drug or alcohol addiction who were incarcerated. I am busier than when I worked full-time as a teacher. My own children often scold me that I'm doing too much. My 5-year-old grandson always asks me, "How is Soroptimus going, Grandma?" He has no idea what it is, but realizes I am always at some kind of meeting. My social interactions are with fellow Soroptimists now. Many of us are in a book club together, or as I like to say, my drinking club with a reading problem. These brilliant, beautiful women are helping me with my retirement goal, to be just as proud of my efforts in retirement as I was with my career. Retirement is fabulous, and I can recommend it to everyone. Finding the perfect volunteer opportunity. You may have your own ideas, But if you don't, let's quickly explore how you can find out about volunteer opportunities. If your local community has a newspaper, you may see some advertised there. But for many of you, heading to the computer is the fastest way to find an answer. Remember that networking and asking others for recommendations can yield better results, but you can get a leg up by combining these efforts and first identifying the job you want online. Your initial consideration is where you want to work, in a brick-and-mortar place, outdoors, or virtual, so you can work from anywhere online. When exploring, you will find so many different opportunities that it would take two lifetimes to do even half of what's available. I did a brief search myself and found some very unique and interesting options. Do you like horses? Little Bit Therapeutic Riding Center offers a unique approach to therapy, helping children and adults with physical and/or developmental disabilities take weekly therapeutic horseback riding classes that improve physical health, provide a sense of accomplishment and control, and emphasize the capabilities of each rider. Forests? Help every Saturday in the spring, removing invasive weeds and dead trees and plants, and gathering broken branches off the ground to make room for new plantings and current trees and native plants to thrive. Fashion? Thrift stores are looking for weekday volunteers to identify top quality and fashion-forward merchandise from donations. Sort donations for use by thrift store and shelter programs, and help move items within the agency. These are the top causes people volunteer to and financially support, to give you some ideas. Welfare, child care, community organizing, education, historical preservation, health care, homelessness prevention, women's empowerment, stopping domestic abuse, disaster relief, hunger prevention. Good websites to start your search. Volunteer Match. That's www.volunteermatch.org. This site allows you to find volunteer opportunities wherever you live. It has offered more than 12 million individuals a chance to make a difference by connecting them to nonprofits needing volunteers. Idealist. That's www.idealist.org. With both volunteered and paid opportunities, this site is all about connecting idealists, people who want to do good, with opportunities for action and collaboration. With more than 120,000 organizations and 1.4 million monthly visitors to its English and Spanish idealistas.org sites, this site helps people move from an intention to taking action. I keep an up-to-date list of websites and other resources. Go to www.myretirementreinvention.com/resources. Caution, test drive. Not all volunteer jobs will meet your desires or goals. You may try one and find it is not what you thought it would be. If so, gracefully quit. That is correct. I am giving you permission not to follow through and instead to leave that volunteer job behind. At first, think of it as a test drive. If it's great, fully commit. If not, go find great. Many boomers tell me it took two or three tries until they found the right opportunity. So select with care. Ask good questions regarding the work and what tasks you will be doing so you can decide if it's a good fit for you. Try it out and only stay if the job makes you feel like you're doing something meaningful. Think about how you might volunteer and make a difference in the lives of others or benefit our planet. Any boomer who is uncertain how to start a great retirement should give serious consideration to giving back and how to make a difference. You can do something that will help others and make you feel good about doing it. For more ideas on volunteering, go to www.myretirementreinvention.com/resources. Embrace your dreams with passion. Chapter 9. Live your hobby. An active retirement is a happy retirement. It's a time when you do things you enjoy and want to be doing. You want to keep your mind engaged, your spirit refreshed, and your soul renewed. You want to relax and enjoy activities with interesting people. Many of my clients enjoyed various hobbies and activities before they retired. Others started after they left their job. The types of hobbies people pursue are many and varied. I, for example, love photography and will spend more time pursuing it when I stop working. Other clients have worked on community projects, played in a tennis or golf league, participated in book clubs or dinner groups, undertook creative endeavors, or long hikes. The majority of my clients have a hobby or two or five. Almost everyone says they couldn't spend as much time as they'd like at their hobbies when working, and they were definitely on the retirement to-do list. Some had an interest, but never the time to explore it. Retirement was when they first tried out a new hobby or pursued an interest. Gardening is a very popular hobby. I love planting flowers and creating a beautiful garden. Others like to plant and grow vegetables. Norma was a busy CPA who was consumed with a very large practice. At age 70, she started to close out her business, and by age 76, she had only a handful of clients left. As she was closing this one door, she says, "I knew I needed to open another. I couldn't see retiring if I wasn't doing something worthwhile." Norma had been a gardener, and at age 70, she decided to join the PPATCH Community Gardening Organization in Seattle. They have a unique organization with the following goals: nurturing civic engagement, practicing organic gardening techniques and growing herbs and vegetables, improving access to local, organic, and culturally appropriate food, transforming the appearance of and revitalizing neighborhoods, feeding the hungry, uniting others through gardening and cooking. This group oversees 32 acres. Their website says the gardens provide a way to give back to the community. Their gardeners put in over 33,000 hours supplying fresh organic produce to Seattle food banks and feeding programs. When the PPATCH coordinator quit, Norma volunteered to take on that role. "I like to organize things. It's something I'm good at," Norma shared with me. "I spend 5 to 8 hours a week on this project. It's mostly run by email. Many of the PPATCH gardeners are retired people. They can't do some of the physical labor on a new or big restoration project, so I'll plan work parties. We get involvement from companies like Microsoft, or from charity groups or high school helpers who come in to do a lot of labor in one weekend or day. The task for me is handling the event planning, coordinating, and keeping our 200 gardeners organized. You have to be very resourceful and have superb networking skills to do this volunteer position. It's a rewarding undertaking because we can see the results. We create food and beauty. It's a community effort. I really like that. With about 150 garden plots and more than 200 gardeners, it has been great fun to keep them all organized. And yes, Norma does all this at age 79. Becoming active in gardening has many options. It's your little spot on the earth to do with as you wish. Getting your hands in the dirt is a good project. I love growing flowers. I was a rose fanatic, but the deer always came in and ate them, so I finally switched to hydrangeas and other blossoms. Look for groups to join on Meetup or join Master Gardener groups. Sometimes just talking to neighbors and friends who share this hobby is pleasure enough. Be a tutor or teacher. Stephen was a tall, lean, no-nonsense engineer, but at age 58, he was laid off, along with 50,000 others. He tried to land a new job, but no one wanted a white-haired senior engineer who was in his late 50s, very expensive, and looked too old to offer fresh ideas. He couldn't get any work, but he needed to earn a living. Stephen sadly realized that he would need to do something different. He was sitting around moping, not able to find a solution to his problem. His brother suggested the idea of being a tutor. Stephen had always tapped into his math and physics skills while on the job. He was good at instructing other workers and had a lot of experience doing it. He checked into this option, tried tutoring, and really enjoyed it. Having never run a business, he found a website to partner with, WiseAunt. www.wiseant.com. They advertise for Stephen and bring him clients. They collect the money and take a small cut of his hourly tutoring fee. He gets to meet teenagers and help make the hard subjects more understandable for them. He tutors at the local library, making it easier for him to book clients back to back. This new career phase has worked for him. He earns over $40,000 a year, and most important, he says, the work makes him feel valued and useful. He's got a flexible schedule, and his web partner provides a steady stream of potential clients. There are many subjects to tutor people in. Do you have musical talent? Can you teach piano, saxophone, guitar? What about voice lessons? There are a lot of choir and music leader jobs through churches. If you are good at something, you likely can teach others how to do it. Continuing education departments at community colleges and four-year universities are full of people who teach everything from acting to Tai Chi to wedding planning. If you have a talent, continuing ed departments and sometimes city parks and recreation centers make great places to sell your knowledge. Random acts of kindness. It was after living through a horrible year in which my best friend died and I lost five other close friends that I felt at an all-time low, reveals Marcy. I was so down and so depressed, filled with grief, sorrow, and heartache. I thought about other people who are suffering through tragedies too. Some have an injury or loss of a loved one. Others are going through cancer treatments. I envisioned that, as time dragged on and the initial support waned, they would still be feeling just like I was, down and discouraged. One of my hobbies had always been creating handmade cards. I don't know where the idea came from. It just kind of popped into my head. But I thought, what if I was to send a Sunshine and Smiles handmade card to someone who's going through a very difficult time? I asked around and got the names and addresses of several people who were in need of a card. Then, off into the mail, my heartfelt treasure was sent, full of sunshine to help brighten their day in a tiny way. This is how I started sending sunshine and smiles. Marcy began telling other people about what she was doing. She was at a stamping convention where people use rubber stamps to make cards, and told everyone she met. Several people said they'd like to help, especially since it was something they could do from home. One year later, Marcy had dozens of people who would message her or tell her about people in need. I have several volunteer recruits who will make a card and mail it out. I just email them. This little Sunshine and Smiles Club, as I call it, is performing a random act of kindness, and it works, Marcy says. Indeed, the club has sent out hundreds of handmade Sunshine and Smiles cards with messages that let the recipients know they're being thought of and cared about or prayed for. I love organizing this, and we have several people involved now, Marcy explains. It's a great little community in which we can share graphics along with online photos of the cards we've made. You don't have to do something major to help other people, but you do have to do something. Giving back is the most rewarding thing you'll ever do. That seems to be true based on the emails Marcy gets back from people who have received her exquisite cards. She shared a couple of responses. E.S. said, "Thanks for the lovely cards. They came at a time when I needed them. It is so nice to know that the Christian community is alive. God bless you and your ministry." S.M. wrote, "You certainly have filled my heart with great joy. I have all your beautiful cards together and read them over and over. They brought a smile to my face even on the bad days. I so enjoyed these and think that someone I've never met could make such a difference in my day. Thank you for your kindness and caring." GK died of stage 4 cancer at age 27. "The cards I receive from you and your friends have been so uplifting and make you believe in the beauty behind the human spirit. Much love and gratitude to all." Marcy created Sending Sunshine and Smiles for people who need a pick-me-up. She took her stamping and card-making skills and put them to a wonderful use. That random act of kindness really matters to the recipients. If you want to make a difference, you have two options. Join something that exists. Start something new. Be a joiner or a starter. In Chapter 2, you identified a few hobbies that might interest you. Now it's time to learn more about the options available in your community. Begin by Googling your hobby, such as book clubs or hiking, and add your town or city so the search looks like this: Book Club, Parkville, Missouri. When you enter queries like this, you'll be surprised to find meetups, library clubs, or community groups that already exist and that you could join. Another option is to look on your neighborhood Facebook page. Post a question: do you know of any local painting groups, or writing groups, or cooking groups? List whatever hobby you seek to find connections to. A former Marine, Bill always went to the shooting range. Once he retired, he moved to Texas. He knew that hunting was popular there, but living in a new place posed a problem. I wondered if there were any gun and hunting enthusiasts in the town, and gave some thought to how I would find them. I went down to the Walmart and asked the person in charge of the gun section. That person gave me the names of a few local groups. I made the calls, checked out the groups, and joined the one I liked best. It was easy once I made the calls. I have to admit it took me a few days to call strangers, but I'm really glad I did. You will likely have to make the effort to find a new group and join in. Meetup groups are springing up all over the United States. As mentioned, Meetup is a terrific online site. You can find others who share your interest or hobby. Like birdwatching, you can join a group doing just that. Book clubs, pet groups, writing, sports, photography, cooking, car enthusiasts, over 50 singles, over 50 married, skiing, bunco, chess. There is a very long list of meetup groups you can join. Just go to their website and do a bit of searching. For example, I went to www.meetup.com/women's-hiking-connection. The description said, "We are a group of mature, active women in our 40s, 50s, 60s, and up who enjoy getting out to hike and walk with nature. We may not be the first to reach the end of the trail, nor are we in a hurry to do so. Our interests are more along the lines of enjoying life, appreciating the beauty around us, and taking time to be in good company. We also cultivate a team approach so everyone can list the hikes they want to do on the days they'd like to hike. Join a listed hike or List your own and have other women join you. Hikes of all levels and abilities are offered. All women are welcome. Don't see exactly what you love on Meetup? Can't find it in your town? Create a new Meetup. You'll meet new people with your interest and likely make a few friends more quickly. People love golf, and Jim really loved golf. When he retired, he began working, not on a golf course, but in a small golf store. He describes his unique twist on this hobby. I had once been a caddy as a college kid. I had also taught golf, but not in years. Once I retired, I went back and started giving golf lessons again. This took up 15 to 20 hours a week. Hey, I am in seventh heaven. I meet a lot of students through the golf store because they let me advertise there. I used the money I made to travel to major pro golf tournaments and watch the professionals play, especially the women's PGA. I went to the Hawaiian Open and everywhere else they played. My ultimate thrill was the trip to Scotland I made with a group of other golf lovers to see the famous golf courses there. Now that was something, he says. And you thought golf leagues were all you could do with golf. By exploring, you can find travel opportunities like Jim did. You can work at a golf course or at a pro shop and meet a lot of people and earn a paycheck, too. The cost just spiraled out of control, explains Sally. She and her husband had bought a house that needed major remodeling. They spent over a year working on the project. Sally says, unexpected expenses were tapping a lot more money than we had budgeted. Finally, we finished and moved into the house. That's when my darling husband issued a royal decree saying I could not hire an interior designer. Sally loved interior design. This was the part of the project she had looked forward to. So with the budget blown, she got creative and put her thinking cap on. How could she decorate the house herself? She went to the mall and applied for a job at Pottery Barn. You get a 40% off employee discount, so I was up for that, Sally says. I could spend my paychecks buying things on sale and getting my discount on top of that. It made it all very affordable. Right from the start, she was surprised by how much she enjoyed helping people with their home decorating concerns. I didn't expect to work at this job for very long. I was quite surprised that it was great fun to work and just talk about design ideas. It was like being in heaven, she said. I've got no desire to quit anytime soon, even though the house is now completely decorated. I'm having too much fun, and the schedule is very flexible, making this an ideal situation, she says. Retailers love hiring retirees. If you like a nice environment and want some extra income, plus the store discount, consider heading to the mall for a part-time job. They do hire seasonal help, so if you only want to work summers or for holidays, you can do that too. Kathy's dogs were a big thing in her life. She had trained her own border collies, and when she got a new puppy, she took it to an obedience class. The teacher was really impressed with her ability to work with the dogs and suggested she become a dog trainer. Kathy had been a lawyer living in a smaller community in Virginia. She was 71 when she decided it was time to stop practicing law and retire. The suggestion that I be a dog trainer just stuck in my head. I thought about the idea, realizing a lot goes into it. It's not just a simple thing you start doing, she says. So she did an apprenticeship and took all the classes necessary to get the certification to become a lead trainer for dogs. This is really my passion now, Kathy says, but it's not for most people. Sure, it's a part-time kind of job, and I try to teach 5 classes a week when I'm not traveling. The money I earn is practically nothing. I enjoy it. That is why I'm there. A lot of time went into getting all those certifications to become a dog trainer. There is nothing more fun than working with dogs and trying to teach them to obey their owners so both pet and family can live in harmony. I love this job. Many new hobbies will require special training. Investigate, try it out, and if it feels right, then pursue it with a vengeance. I enjoy trying out new beers, says Bob, a soft-spoken but friendly retired special education teacher who enjoys going to local breweries and hanging out with friends. I'm really interested in beer houses. Whenever I travel, I go to beer houses in all the new locales. I got a very exciting opportunity when my son decided to go to college for a year in China. I went over on several trips to visit him, and I explored many beer gardens. I met so many new people. I learned a lot, but shared too. They were very interested in what beers are popular in the States. Bob was able to sip many different beers from China and the neighboring countries. When he came back to the States, he told some friends about his experience. One mentioned it to the CEO of a small brewery in the area where Bob lived. That CEO contacted Bob and said, "We are very interested in promoting our beers in China. We found it to be a very hard and expensive experience. Let's talk about you maybe being a spokesperson for us. We'll send you over to select cities where you could go to the breweries and just talk about our beers." The company wanted to educate bartenders and have someone talk to the owners and, most important, to the patrons. Could Bob do that? He was learning the language, so yes, he could. Now he spends a little bit of his retirement time getting paid as a beer spokesman. Who'd have ever thought I'd be doing this? It's really just talking to people and being friendly. I found myself a perfect position when I wasn't even looking, he says with a big smile. Sometimes when you are immersed in your hobby, a job will find you like Bob's did. More often, you'll have to take the steps to land a job in that field. You may be surprised to learn that getting a part-time job is a lot easier than volunteering. "I worry a lot about money since I'm my sole support," explains Sonia. Before retiring, she'd been a customer service rep for a large phone company, and she didn't want to work long hours ever again. "I need to do something where I interact with people," Sonia says. "My pension is small, and I need to add to it. Trouble is, everything pays minimum wage, and I want to make more money than that." She took her problem to the temp agency Manpower to see if they could place her in a part-time job. Although she had great communication skills, she didn't really have any computer skills. "That proved to be a problem," Sonia explains. "Seems you need computer skills for just about everything available. Anything else was paying so low. So I sweetly asked the company representative, 'Don't you have something that pays more where you need good customer service skills?' I stressed how very friendly and outgoing I am. The rep came up with a job as an in-store food demonstrator. It's great. I get a 4 to 5 hour gig at the local grocery store or Costco and make between $23 and $27 an hour. I usually take on 2 or 3 days a week, and I love the job." Sonia makes up the food samples and hands them out to customers who walk by. "Easy peasy," she says. "This job has great flexibility, and I make really good money for my time. It's ideal for me, and they love having boomers. I just show up and have no problems promoting the food product. Time just flies by." More than 3 million people work for staffing or temporary agencies each week. These organizations seek out people for all kinds of jobs. They hire contractors, aka you, to work on assignments. Definitely tell the agency worker where you'd like to work and doing what. They can likely place you in a hobby environment if you are specific when you describe the work and locale you wish to get a job in. the five largest staffing firms in the United States. Allegis Group, $8.63 billion. Adecco Group, $4.627 billion. Randstad Holding, $4.625 billion. Manpower Group Global, New York Stock Exchange, MAN, $3.54 billion, and Robert Half International, New York Stock Exchange, RHI, $3.48 billion. You can accept a job, ask for another, or take certain days off. There is usually lots of flexibility. According to the American Staffing Association, the average wage is more than $17 an hour. Some people in professional roles make more than $100 an hour. Search for staffing agencies in your area. The nice thing is that if you need some extra cash, you can sign up to work for a few weeks until you've made the cash you need. Is Hollywood calling? Do you like movies? What about sci-fi? Ever thought about writing a screenplay? Linda was 66 and had spent a great deal of time thinking about writing screenplays. A former lawyer, she had taken classes in screenwriting while she was still working. She had read books and even dabbled in trying to produce stories that might eventually get made into movies. When she retired, she began to write full-time. "I was really serious once I retired," explains Linda. "I even moved to Los Angeles. I eventually sold options on three of my projects." Don't get too excited, though. You get a small sum simply for the right to hold the potential to maybe turn that screenplay into a film. Hollywood people call it being in development. Me, I say it is really a black hole for the writer, as nothing happens for a long while. Either the option rights run out or move forward. I actually got lucky. One of my babies was made into a movie that was put into very limited release. It was a historical sci-fi story that sadly not many people ever saw. Still, Linda lives in Los Angeles so she can be closer to the industry. She offers this advice. "It's very demoralizing if you're an older person in the movie business. Everyone is so insecure. It's just a tough business if you're not young. People have a tendency to think you're obsolete if you are old. Still, I'm doing it, and it makes me very happy and creative. I plan to keep doing this as long as I can. Besides, the writing and character development really keep my mind sharp, and I think that's very important as you age. I hold out the hope that I'll get a shot at having a movie made that people will flock to see." That seems to be every screenwriter's dream, too. Screenwriting, whether for TV or a movie studio, is not for the faint of heart. Rejection is the typical response. Before you slave away writing a script for your favorite sitcom, check to see if they accept unsolicited scripts. Most do not. They won't bother reading it. Your screenplay will just go in the trash. There are various venues for an interest in movies. Theaters, of course, and TV networks, plus cable, with Lifetime and the Hallmark Channel, for example, buying and making a lot of movies. Online streaming services like Netflix and Amazon Prime have also gotten into the movie-making business. Mike wanted to go to film school and make movies, but when his girlfriend got pregnant, he married and went to business school, thinking it would lead to a more secure job. He worked as a manager in the Atlanta area and decided that Hollywood had just been a high school kid's dream. "I still cling to a secret wish to be in movies and watch them be made up close," Mike told me. "Just before I retired, I read about a film being shot here in Atlanta. I went online to find out who the producer was and to see if they needed extras. Seems they did. I applied and pretty much everyone who showed up got in. I was flying high. They dressed us up in period costumes and we spent days on the set. I got to talk to other people involved in the production, and to my surprise, Atlanta is like the number one place that movies are made in the U.S. Lucky me. Mike found out that he could register with casting agencies if he wanted to be an extra. In the last few years, he's been in several films, plus a couple of TV commercials. It's a blast. I'm living the dream. Might be 63, but I'm living the movie-making dream. And am I ever popular at parties now, Mike says. Everyone wants the film lowdown. I spill the beans in small doses to keep people interested. I also invite my friends to go to the movie opening with me. I have my own premiere. Sometimes you can see me. Other times I'm part of the masses. But I'm always in there. It's the best hobby ever. For love of those dogs. I gave myself a retirement present, says Jeanette, who'd been a program specialist working in the corporate library of a Fortune 100 company when she retired at age 63. I bought myself an AKC purebred animal, a West Highland Terrier, commonly called a Westie. She discovered a local chapter for Westie owners and joined the club. Within a short time, a position as membership director opened up, and Jeanette was asked if she would take it. She said yes. I was interested in the dog club because I'm fascinated with show dogs. My new goal was to find out what kind of training was needed to show my dog McDougal. Dogs compete in these AKC purebred competitions to be best of show and get points necessary to win the title champion. Jeanette had quickly found a new home. She enjoyed the sociability of the club and what the members were doing for the breed. And after a couple of years, they asked her to throw her name in the ring to be president. Why not? She thought. To her surprise, she became president. I did a lot to support the breed and increase the club's events. A major highlight for me was watching the show dogs going into the ring trying to become champions. It was captivating. Think of the Westminster Kennel Club dog show, only on a much smaller scale. For 9 years, Jeanette served as the club president, writing newsletters, attending and planning events, educating people about the breed, and going to competitions. At age 75, she decided to step down to let someone else take over. Time for new blood and new ideas, she says. I have contributed everything I could. I'm not done, though, with my love of the show ring and this fabulous breed of dogs. You won't believe what I just did. For the first time ever, I bred my female Westie, Summertime. She's a sweet little girl and gave birth to 6 puppies. I sold each dog quickly and even had a waiting list. These are expensive animals that can sell for $2,000 a dog. Girls sell for even more. While some seniors might be seriously focused on the money, Jeanette says, I was motivated because I wanted to have another dog or two I could show. I love these adorable Westies and the sport of showing them in the ring, competing against other dogs for a champion title. Making the most of it. When Lloyd retired, he and his wife decided to leave California and move to the Midwest to be near the grandchildren. That was enough for her, but he had a very difficult time in a new city where he knew no one. In California, he'd had numerous friends and acquaintances. I had a really important men's Bible group that I'd been a part of for years. And honestly, I discovered that making friends in your 60s proved to be quite a struggle for me. One afternoon, Lloyd and his wife went to a community arts fair. He was struck by the beauty of a sculpture. He talked to the artist, who showed him pictures of the slab of stone he'd started with. Lloyd said, I left that arts fair and I could not get the idea of sculpting a stone out of my head. As soon as I got home, I went online and looked for an intro class. That's how the sculpting phase of my life started. It's me and the slab, he says. I design and make things for the garden. As long as I can sculpt, I'm good. The creation process takes a long time, and it's just so rewarding to see the image shape up, and finally, from a block of stone, you have this beautiful sculpture. Lloyd is a resilient man and found a way to adapt to his new city and to do something new that fascinates him. This kind of hobby has a social side, too. You might attend arts fairs to talk to other artists and get some new ideas. Lots of people are happy to share their creative secrets. If you are interested in trying to advance your creative expression, go to a store that sells art supplies. Ask them about where you can take classes. Often a local artist teaches individuals or small groups. Also check out continuing education courses at your local community college. They often offer a wide range of art classes. In addition, search for art classes at Groupon.com. You'll find a few offerings and a discount on the first class, too. I found paint and sip classes where you enjoy wine as you paint a scene. Groupon also had pottery, glass blowing, ceramics, drawing, and photography courses, as well as adult coloring. Rooting for the home team. I've been addicted to watching sports on TV, whether it was football or college basketball. You could say I'm pretty obsessed with it, says Bernie. When he retired, he missed having the guys at work to talk to about the games and the sports news. He went on Facebook and tried to reconnect with some people he knew in high school. Some still lived in the area, and with the pro football season coming up, he posted, "Hey, who wants to meet and watch the Giants season opener?" To his surprise, about 7 people said yes, that they wanted to. So he made the arrangements to meet at a restaurant. He'd go early to get the table to be sure that they would have good seats in front of one of the big TV screens. "I had an absolute blast," Bernie says. "People in the sports bar get super excited, screaming for the home team. We were cheering and yelling and laughing. It was so much more fun than watching it alone at home." Everyone enjoyed the game, so Bernie suggested, "Hey, how about we do this every week until the Super Bowl?" Everyone said, "Yeah, that sounds great." A couple of people who happened to be in the bar said they'd come back every week and watch with them, too. It proved to be such a great time that Bernie rounded up a group to watch a nearby college basketball team that is often quite good. "I spice things up with a football pool each week and a fun March Madness game. We all really get into the Final Four tournament." "This has been a great hobby, a really fun thing to do," he continues. "Sometimes 15 or 20 people, men and women, show up. Everybody's wearing shirts that advertise their support for their favorite team. Robin, lots of people should do this. It's so much fun, and you can make new friends to do other things with, too. Every one of us has a big screen at home, but it's not the same as watching with a lot of other people. Together, you've got more spirit. You can yell anything, and it's okay. We talk about the players, refs, and the games. I so enjoy it. My retirement has been great because I started this. I'm amazed that I organized it. I'm not someone who does that, but I took the risk, and it really panned out." Sometimes you have to be the one with the idea. You have to start something and involve others who share that hobby or interest. To get started, talk to a few of your friends and get a sense of what they'd be interested in. Once you've decided on an activity, decide on the frequency of meetings and block out your time. Get everyone's email addresses. If you send out a reminder 2 days before the event, you'll have better attendance. Old interests come back to life. Give a bit of thought to activities you enjoyed in your childhood. As mentioned, some men rediscover motorcycle riding, and it becomes a major focus in their retirement. For others, It could be a sport or any activity experienced a long while ago. Peggy loved to read, but had never joined a book club. When she retired, she decided that maybe it was time to meet some new people. So she looked around for some clubs and found a local book club. She wrote to the organizer to find out the details